Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
It's great to have you guys here on this Palm Sunday. What we're beginning this week is something called Holy Week. And it starts with Palm Sunday. I'm going to talk about that. I have a very short sermon, and then we're doing some baptisms. And then on Friday, as Dylan mentioned, Good Friday is the day that we remember the cross. Thank you, Stephen. And we really felt as a church that we wanted to do something we've never done and create space in our lives that are busy to come 6:30 to 8 with no other purpose but remembering the cross of Jesus and remembering what he did. Our full team is going to be here. We're going to worship. We're going to hear testimonies about the cross. We have a big wooden cross that we've built that we're going to nail our sins and our burdens to as part of our response to worship, and we're going to share communion together. And then, of course, we're going to have a resurrection party on Easter Sunday, both of our services. If you haven't been here before, we do, at the end of the service, I share the gospel, we worship. We have some baptisms next week, too, but we all get handed out at the very end confetti cannons. And it's not a gimmick. We actually do a giant, like 100 confetti cannons in each service. And this year, all of the kids are going to get their own, not cannon, but this little thing that you throw the confetti up. So we're even upping the amount of confetti. And it is literally a powerful worship moment. Who's been here for that and who loves it? It's amazing. It's amazing. So we do it in both of our services. So when second service gets here, the whole sanctuary is already covered in confetti. It's all over the chairs. Excuse me. And actually, I thought I just saw a piece. But throughout the year, because it gets stuck up here, every once in a while, a piece of confetti falls, and we just take it as reminders of the resurrection. You know what I'm saying? It's really awesome. And pray for our cleaners the day after Easter, because it is a multi-day project to clean up all the confetti. Today is Palm Sunday, though. And I want to share a message entitled Three Life-Changing Prayers based on what the crowd shouted to Jesus when he was making his triumphal entry. And let me just start by giving a note on prayer. We tend to think prayer is more complicated than it is. And I'm talking to my youth in the house and my kids as well. Prayer is actually just talking to God and listening to God. It's a conversation. It's communication with the living God. And it comes with extra reverence, of course, because it's not just like talking to our brother or sister. We're talking to our Creator. But one thing that's abundantly clear in Scripture that I think we miss is that God wants to hear about everything going on in your life. And he wants to speak to you about it. He speaks to you through this word. You've got to be reading God's word. And he speaks to you through his Spirit. He quickens God's word in your life. He will guide your life. He will help you make decisions. And it's a lot like me as a dad. I have four great kids, and I want them to talk to me about everything. Which parents here can attest to that? You want your kids to bring everything to you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's what prayer is before God. And these three life-changing prayers, and they're all very short, are lifted right out of what the people prayed on Palm Sunday. And I want you to use your imagination for a moment and think about Jerusalem. I was actually just there about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and it is an incredible city. And what was happening at the time of Palm Sunday was the Passover festival. So there's a historian named Josephus, who was one of the earliest historians that would record things that let us know what life was like in the biblical times. And they said that during the Passover festival, over 2 million people descended upon Jerusalem. Now, just to give you an idea, the whole Nashville metro area, so not just Nashville proper, but our whole metro area, like including Franklin, Murfreesboro, all these surrounding suburbs, is about 2 million people. And so imagine that many people all descending right in down onto Nashville, but it's Jerusalem, and they bring with them over 250,000 lambs. Because these lambs are going to be sacrificed as part of the Old Testament tradition, the law of God for absolution from their sins. But this time, in the midst of all these people and all these lambs and all these children and noise and clutter, came Jesus, who people were still trying to figure out what to think about, who we know is the actual Lamb of God, who's going to completely fulfill the purpose of God that we sang about in that song earlier. Is anyone worthy to open the scroll? That's talking about the Lamb looking as if he's been slain, who's the one who can open the scroll, the plan of God. So that's what's unfolding as we pick up in John 12, verses 12 through 16. So grab your Bible. We're encouraging people to get more used to bringing an actual hard copy Bible to church with them. If you don't have it, that's fine. Turn there on your Bible app, or you can read along on screen. But this is the scene, surrounded by people and lambs. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival, all 2 million of those people, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. So Lord, as we just sang, open our ears and our eyes. Give us understanding in our hearts about your word. We take these few minutes to just sit at your feet and quiet our own soul and receive from you. Thank you for blessing your word. I pray everyone would be encouraged, strengthened, convicted where need be in their faith this morning in Jesus' name. Look back at verse 13. It says, they took palm branches and went out to meet him shouting. I want you to note the word shouting. I actually like the moment when we're greeting each other. We've been experimenting with that recently. I don't know if we'll always do it. But when that happens, the volume in the room goes up immediately because lots of people just start saying, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's great to meet you. No one's shouting, but the collective volume goes up. And I want to remind you as I begin this message about prayer, that prayer, of course, can be totally silent in your own heart and mind, but it shouldn't only be silent. I want to encourage you to use the instrument God gave you, your voice, to call out these prayers to God, to sing these songs to God, and not just here in church, but at home. They're actually here shouting, Hosanna! Imagine 2 million people, or at least the hundreds of thousands that are gathered right around that area, shouting, Hosanna, which means save us. It means rescue us. And so number one, it's a one-word prayer that can change your life. Help. Just the simple cry, help. God, I need you to rescue me. This prayer, when you really mean it, changes your life because God always answers it. He is the Savior and knows that we need to be saved. The problem is that your average person out there never actually cries out to God for help because it demands your humility. It demands the confession that you are God and I am not and I need you. Not a lot of people would actually say this with their words. Some do. But a lot of people demonstrate with their actions that what they actually believe theologically is that they will live this life on their own and every once in a while need a little help from God. But that's wrong theology and will hurt you. The reality is you can't live a day apart from the grace and mercy of God. Has anyone here learned that lesson? I hope that many of you have come to the end of yourself and learned to live a life of dependence on the Lord. Our country, we're about to celebrate 250 years. It's going to be an amazing celebration. And part of that was the Declaration of Independence from England. And that's good for a nation. But as Christians, we have an entirely different declaration. And if you haven't made in a while, I encourage you to make today your declaration of dependence. You live in need of God at all times of every day. And that quote is taken from Psalm 118:25 that says, Lord, save us, grant us success. This past week, my mom had her retirement party. She's been a kids minister her entire life, about 50 years, starting when she was an older teenager. And there's a church in Pennsylvania called Innovation Church where she's been the kids pastor there for the last 25 years. And my dad was the pastor for 23 of those years, but he retired. My little brother actually surprisingly took over. We didn't see that coming until this last season, and it's been such a beautiful thing. But my mom had her retirement party this Friday, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go, but at the last minute, I was able to work it out. And I went and flew there on Thursday, and I surprised her. I just showed up to her house on Thursday night. She immediately was emotional. It was so beautiful, and I got to be there on Friday. I actually missed my dad's retirement party a couple years ago, no joke, because my little brother did not tell me it was happening. My little bro, Josh, he was like, it's just a dinner. It's not that big of a deal. And I was like, you didn't think to tell me. Like, I found out right before it was happening, and there was no way I could get there. So I had to send a video. And I tell his church that, like, every time I preach there. I he's my little brother, but he's 6'1", and I put him in his place real quick. Like, it is my job to show up at his church and just pick on him for about an hour straight. It's really fun. But he was, and I'm joking, I actually love him. Kids, be nice to your siblings. This is loving. I forgot the kids were in here. This is loving. This is loving picking on each other. You know, it's actually very kind when you do it, and you're both in on it together. This is my mom and dad. I was sitting there at the table. This is the auditorium of that church there. And they were watching my sister perform fun and meaningful songs, kind of like what Jessica does here sometimes for our team nights. And I just thought they were radiating joy. Don't you kind of see that? And they were laughing, and I actually snapped about 10 photos. And I'm so thankful for the legacy that I was raised up into as a son of this man and this woman. And it was such a gift to be there. But I remembered a story about my mom when she was a little girl. She was swimming in the ocean at a beach somewhere. How many love to go swimming? And what happened to her was something that all of us parents can get nervous about, especially when there's a strong current. She got caught in the undertow. And as a little girl, she very quickly got swept under the water and out to sea. And thankfully, a lifeguard saw her because she was completely overwhelmed by the strength of the ocean. And they actually had to form a human chain. It was rough enough that they couldn't just go get her. And that human chain, as they locked arms from the shore all the way out to the water, finally reached my mom, pulled her back into shore, and saved her life. My mom was rescued as a little girl from something that very easily could have taken her life. And because she was rescued, her life was completely changed. She lived an entire life. She's now 67 or 68 years old. She married my dad. Yeah, I just said 6'7", sorry. She married my dad, and I was born. So her rescue not only changed her life, it changed my life. The prayer of help that leads to your rescue changes everything about your life and your lineage. It's not just a prayer for you. It's a prayer for the legacy of your family. And if you don't have blood, family, and kids, it's for all of those in your life that you hold any influence with. And then even more importantly, my mom eventually grew up and met the Lord Jesus as her Savior for herself. She was raised by a pastor just like I was. It was another pastor's family. And because of that, doesn't guarantee that she was going to live as a rescued one. But eventually in her teen years, she came to know Jesus as her own Savior. And that changed her life, and that changed my life. And I want to encourage you. I know you're in church here this morning, but look at me for a second. I know there are people that are here that feel like they're drowning right now. And I want to tell you, you're in the right place. And if you call on the Lord, He will save you. He is our Savior. And life can be overwhelming just like the ocean. You can be hanging on the beach, playing with your loved ones, laughing, building sandcastles, and all of a sudden, just a little bit out, get caught in an undertow. And this is what life feels like sometimes. And you just suddenly get swept under, and you're out to sea, and you don't even know how you got there. And I want to speak to you for whoever's in the room that needs rescue. You are not beyond the rescuing power of Jesus. He is the Savior to all. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know who that includes? You. And thank God that includes me. And then let's read on at the second prayer. They took these palm branches and went out shouting, Hosanna. And then they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were saying, blessed be the one who saves us, the one who is promised to us, the Messiah. So once you're rescued, you pray, number two, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to actually do a call and response with you. I'm going to say, once you get rescued, you say, and then you're going to shout, thank you. Let's do it. Once you get rescued, you say,
thank you.
Let's keep that in mind, and let's use our actual voices to thank our Savior. You're meant to live a life of gratitude. Scripture says that God's will for you is not as much all the specifics you want to know from God, but it is that you would be grateful to God in every season of your life. And in the case with saying thank you to Jesus, it's important to note what we're about to look at. He's not just like a friend that we say thank you to. Like I say thank you to people in my life all the time because I get to be surrounded by such wonderful folks. But when we're talking to Jesus, we're also acknowledging that he's our God and King. So that gratitude turns into worship. So I want you to write in those parentheses, I worship you. You're created to worship, to honor the Lord. And perhaps today you're wondering how your life could possibly change. And I want to just submit to you that God's word tells you that living a life of gratitude changes your perspective on everything. And living a life of worship will transform your heart, your mind, and every environment of your life. Wherever you feel stuck, start worshiping God right there. Can I get an amen? Wherever you feel like you're hitting a wall, go there and just worship the God who is faithful, and you'll have a fresh wind to approach it with new power. Amen? I'm looking for a little response from you guys. I want us to use our voices. Wherever you feel like you keep getting into a slump or there's some kind of intellectual problem that you're running into in your walk with God or a difficult relationship, I want you to think about that situation, begin to give God thanks, and begin to worship the God who is your Savior, and he will change that situation. Amen? Use that voice. Become a worshiper. Don't just wait to show up on church and for a worship leader to be like, come on, let's go. Which, by the way, how great to have Jaren and Jade with us today. We love them so much. Yes, love you guys. Their parents are here too. And our whole worship team, we're gifted with so many just anointed worship leaders. But you don't wait for them to call you to worship. You worship every day of your life. You make an altar in your bedroom, in your car. You seek God and you speak with your voice. Thank you, God, for this gift of life. Thank you, God, that you're going to help me with even the things that make me feel like I'm drowning right now. I worship you, God, because you are all that I need. It's such an important, life-changing prayer. And then the third one, they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And third, blessed is the King of Israel. What they're saying there is, you are our king. Because these were the Israelites praying this. They were saying, you are our king and we praise you. So that means every individual there was saying, you are my king. And I want to let you know that when you declare someone to be your king, you're telling them that your answer before the king even asks it is number three, yes. One simple word. I tell you, that prayer will change your life. If you will pledge your allegiance to the King and say, King Jesus, whatever you ask of me, my answer is already yes, you better hold on. The adventure is about to begin. Some of you, God wants you to stop dipping your toe in the river of God, and he wants you to just jump in and abandon yourself to being in the flow of the grace of God. Anybody with me? Have a yes in your heart to your King. I love how in our kids' ministry, our Studio G kids are in here right now. When you guys finish a prayer, what do you say? Yes. They say yes. It's another way of saying amen. I agree. May it be so. And I want to give you one caution in closing, just to keep in mind. Your yes to the King doesn't always lead to exactly what you think it will. Can anybody attest? And I want to give you an important principle. God's promises are always true, but his ways are higher than yours. He will fulfill every promise in your life, but he will get you there on a path that is different than what you would choose. Therefore, you can't let your yes lead you to make you think you have unmet expectations before God because your life is not going exactly on your timeline, or you're not exactly on the career path that you would have wished, or your relationships or your family haven't turned out exactly like you would have scripted it after saying yes to God. Peter had that experience with Jesus. He was one of the first followers. And we're teaching through 1 and 2 Peter right now. After our Easter series, we'll resume that. And Peter, when he was first called as a young man, had no idea what he was being called into. He had no idea what it would cost him. He had great joy in the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he also suffered for his king. He also had failure that he didn't expect. He was restored by his King Jesus. Ultimately, he was sent by his King Jesus after Jesus left. He didn't anticipate that. He's like, Jesus, where are you going? He didn't think Jesus was going to let himself get arrested. And the same thing was happening on Palm Sunday. The Israelites were there thinking, our king is here. Everything that we know of the Old Testament, all these prophecies that are true, say that our king is going to come, he's going to overthrow Rome, and he's going to set up shop as the king of Israel right here and right now. The kingdom of God is here. That's what they thought was going to happen. Now we know it went very different than that. The king ended up riding in on a donkey, basically a shameful animal to ride in on, a very weak animal. You'd think he'd come in on the most powerful horse. He chooses a donkey. He's fulfilling the scripture. I would think if the king was coming today, he would come in like a presidential motorcade with the greatest security ever, times 1,000, right? If the Messiah is coming in, get him those absolute best vehicles we had. Coming in on a donkey would be like coming in on a 75 punch bug, rusted out on the sides, maybe some old ugly green color, puttering some smoke out the back, and you're like, what, the king? And then it goes way beyond that because you know the story. On Good Friday, he allowed himself to be arrested. He died a criminal's death on the cross. He's supposed to be the king. He's being mocked. It looks like those who opposed him won. What's happening? We said yes to you, Jesus. Peter and the others, terrified. That's when Peter denied him. He failed Jesus right there. He cursed out loud and denied Jesus 3 times. The guy who ended up being a central figure in the building of the church. But then we know the story. Jesus overcame death and the grave and rose from the dead. That's what we're going to celebrate exactly 7 days from now. But then even after that, he surprised them again. He peaced out. He said, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Do you see how many unmet expectations there are? If the disciples were clinging to exactly how they thought it was going to go, they would just quit over and over again. What I want to challenge you with is this in closing, to lay down your expectations, but build up your expectancy. What that means is whatever you expect God to specifically do for you on your timetable, lay that down. I'm not saying don't hold to the promise. I'm saying your timeline isn't his timeline. His ways are higher and they're better. But as you lay down expectations, build up expectancy. Build up your trust and your faith in the one who is doing more than you could have imagined. Think about the Israelites on Palm Sunday again. Jesus comes. They're probably disappointed. He doesn't overthrow Rome right there and he lets himself be crucified. Not even all of them were probably convinced of his resurrection. But you know what Jesus was doing? Something far better than what they wanted in the moment. He was overcoming sin, death, and the grave to welcome in every tribe and tongue to build an eternal kingdom that will never end. He was fulfilling the actual deepest need of their heart. He was not touching their desire in the moment, but he was meeting what they actually needed, and it would far exceed their expectations. So I would tell those folks, hey, it's about to look really different than what you think, but build your expectancy. They were about to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They went from talking about God at a distance to being filled with the living God and becoming the temples of the Holy Spirit and filled with his fullness and power for life. And the church of Jesus was born. And they all became part of this kingdom of priests. All this is true for you. Whatever it is that you're holding to that's maybe causing you to not give your full yes to God anymore, I want to invite you to lay that down and trust God that his plan is better. Does anyone want to do that with me today? Trust God that his timing, his purpose is greater than what you feel like needs to happen in this current moment. So the 3 prayers lifted right out of Palm Sunday that will change your life today, whichever one you need to lean into, let's do it now as I invite the worship team up. If you need rescue and you're swept away at sea, begin to pray in your heart right now. Rescue me, Lord. Come on, pray it in your heart. I would invite you even right on your lap there, if you know you need to pray that, turn one of your hands over so your palm is facing upward. We have palms just like they had palms then. They were waving actual palms, which we're going to give you some on your way out. But we have our palms on our hand right now. And there's a posture of flipping our hand over that demonstrates humility and our need for God. And I invite you to do that right now as you sit there. God, I need you. God, I need saving. I need rescue. Or perhaps you've let yourself slip into a life of complaining rather than gratitude, or entitlement rather than worship. I want to ask the Lord right now to give you a fresh perspective, to transform how you see everything in your life through a fresh wind of His Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now, if you do this one thing before the Lord, even before He answers any of the prayers you're praying, your whole life will change. God's will is for you to be grateful, for you to be a worshiper, and He will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Or maybe you really need to revisit your yes. Maybe you never really prayed a yes before the King yet. Or maybe you prayed it years and years and years and years ago, but now you've kind of taken the wheel back and you're like, I'm doing my own thing now. I just want to invite you to a fresh and glad surrender before your King. And with that surrender also comes a fresh surrender to whatever outcomes God wants for your life. Come on, let the outcomes go. It doesn't mean don't pray for what you want. Keep praying. Pray for those desires of your heart. But laced with every one of those prayers has to be surrender. Your will, not my will. Lord, I pray for those here that have had big detours in life that have really discouraged them. I pray that they could have encouragement today. I pray that your courage would find home inside of their heart right now, and that your Spirit would well up them in a new way. Help. Thank you. Yes. Yes.